That's why he says you lacked the opportunity. You just had no chance to show it. He doesn't blame them for the period of time in which no help was received. He gives them the credit that they wanted to send gifts to him, but that they lacked the opportunity to do so. I read in one small story about Dr. or D.L. Moody. When he was on the heyday in his evangelistic career, Mr. Moody, the Lord has used you to lift two continents, heavenward and Godward. I wish you give me a few words of resume of your evangelistic work so that I could print in my journal, somebody asked him. I would be glad to, said Mr. Moody. And the young journalist produced his pad, poised his pencil to take in rapid shorthand the story of what God had wrought through D.L. Moody. But D.L. Moody said, put up your pencil. You won't need it. I think you can remember all what I'm going to tell you. And he said, my name is Dwight L. Moody. I was born the first time in 1837. I was born the second time in 1856. My body is soon to die, but my spirit, born two times, is immortal. That's all he said. And that is enough. He was emphasizing the new birth that was the source of his joy. Here the Paul is saying, there's a proper selection to be content and proper satisfaction to be content. And number three is proper sufficiency. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Point A is the concern. Not that I spake in respect of want. Contentment is not something we are born with. It is something that we need to learn. Contentment can only be learned by those in Christ who have the Holy Spirit as the master of teacher of our souls. The reason material things can never make a man content is that the man is never able to get enough of them to satisfy him. Someone else asked John D. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? He thought a moment and said, just a little more than one has. I read an illustration, a man bought a ticket for a boat ride across the Atlantic. He supplied himself with food he thought he would be sufficient for the entire trip. But after a few days, it was all gone. As he smelled the odor of the cooking food and saw other passengers going to their meals, he became more and more hungry. Finally, he asked if there was some way he could get some food from the dining room. He was asked to show his ticket, and he was told that his ticket included all the meals and that he could go in and help himself. You know, when we accept Christ, Jesus as our Savior, and born into God's family, God says, you are mine and all that is I have is yours. Amen. Number two, the confidence. In verse 11, last part of verse 11, he says that I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The verb learned means learned by experience. Paul's spiritual contentment was not something he had immediately after he was saved. he had to go through many difficult experiences of life in order to learn how to be content. But the Christian is not sufficient in himself, he is sufficient in Christ, because Christ lives within us. We are adequate for demands of life. There is contrast in the life. Point number 3 or C says the circumstances. Verse 12, first part of 12 says that I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Whether poor or well off, he says, I am content. Whether hungry or fed, I am content. Whether joy or sorrowful, free or imprisoned, I am content. Whether health or sickness, I am content. Whether life is going my way or not, I am content. Whether there is 1,000 people in my church or 10 people, I am content. You know, the circumstances, we should be content. Number 4, the D point is the condition. The last part of verse 12 says, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I know what it is to have little, or I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty or being in need. I read one illustration saying that Billy Rose wrote a syndicated newspaper column in which terms of extraordinary human interest would frequently appear. One day he told the story of a group of famous American financiers who in the early 1920s met at the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago. They represented in personal wealth and financial control more money than was in the national treasury. Their influence was enormous. Their success was fabulous. 20 years later, Billy Rose called the role of these princes of the financial world. The men whom he named will be nameless here. One of them, a man who had concerned millions through wheat speculation, had died abroad insolvent. Another, the president of the nation's largest independent steel company, had died broke. The president of the New York Stock Exchange, another in the group, had been recently released from prison. A member of the cabinet in Harding administration, after being let out of prison for health reasons, had died at home. The greatest exploiter of the bear market in the Wall Street had committed suicide. The leader of the greatest monopoly had likewise died at his own hand. Billy Rose's summoning up was sound. He said, all of these men had learned how to make big money, but not one of them had learned how to live. We need to know the condition of the world. Number 4, the proper strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Thus, the secret of his contentment in difficult circumstances of Paul's is Christ. Whatever the problem, difficulty, and disappointment, Paul finds in Christ the strength to face it. The apostle was not desperately seeking a gift from the Philippines, but he knew that Christ would give him the strength for whatever circumstances were in God's will for him. Number one, we read that the enablement. He says that I can do all things. Did the apostle really believe that there was nothing he could not do? The answer is this. When the apostle Paul said he could do all things, he meant all things which were God's will for him to do. Paul turns self-sufficiency into contentment because of his self-sufficiency. Number two, or B, the enabler through Christ. The secret of Paul's independence was his dependence upon Christ. His self-sufficiency in reality came from being the vital union with the one who is all-sufficient. He knows that Christ is his strength. You know, we read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says that, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Of the strength which Christ can impart, Paul had abundant experience. And now his whole reliance was there. It was not any native ability. There was his own resolution. It was in the strength that he derived from the Redeemer. Paul had such strength so long as Jesus keeps on putting into him, power into him. In all circumstances, Christ, our unchanging friend, can uphold us. Let the eye and the affliction of the heart be fixed on him. The simple, fervent, believing prayer be directed always to him when the trials come, when temptations assail, when duty presses hard upon us, and when a crowd of unholy, forbidden thoughts rush into our souls, we shall be safe. Number three, the endowment means to provide with something. Who strengtheneth me? That's what Paul says. The word strengthen means to be made strong. He learned that the Lord's commands are Lord's enablements. He knew that God would never call him to accomplish some task without giving the necessary grace. This was not an expression of pride in his own ability, but a declaration of the strength provided by Christ. The sentence spells out, at the practical level of slogan of life, for me to live is Christ, in verse 1 and 12, Paul points that he was learned to live in either want or plenty through the enabling of Christ. Being in Christ, not being self-sufficient, has rendered both want and will of little no significance. In closing, the secret of contentment is found in a personal relationship with the living Christ who loved us, who is able to give us adequate strength to cope with life in spite of our circumstances. True contentment comes through Christ. A person that is contented is confident in God's providence. A person that is contented is satisfied with little. A person that is contented is independent from the circumstances. A person that is contented is strengthened by divine power. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your strength in our weakness. To this church at Philippi, the letter by Paul gives them how you can fill our lives with the strength in our weaknesses. I can do all things which Christ strengtheneth me. Lord, I pray that as we minister in this world in different parts of the countries, give us the strength to be content in whatever state we are to do your work. Thank you for all the missionaries who are present in this conference. Thank you for the organizers, what they have been to us. Lead us and guide us through this day, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.